Material Wealth Personal Development Program. I'm your host, James Renford Powell, author of the Renford books, and specifically the one that we talk about on this show is The Laws of Material Wealth. This is a book, a workbook, four DVDs, 54 lessons. We have 54 shows that can be found right here by going to blogtalkradio.com/Renford. That's blogtalkradio.com/Renford. Go to the archives, and you can go back to week one, week two, week three, all the way through the 54 weeks. And if you email me, I am Renford, I-A-M-R-E-N-F-O-R-D, at gmail.com. I'll see to it that you get the support material in a single document. Also, on our YouTube site, you go to youtube.com, type in Renford Broadcast Network. The first DVD of the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program is there, so you can get a taste of it. And, of course, we'll be happy to talk to you about it anytime. If you've got anyone who would like to listen to the show, but they're not online or traveling or whatever, they can call in on 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142. If you are listening from the internet at the Blog Talk site, the home page of Radio by Renford, or if you're listening on the radio or on the telephone, 347-838-9142, you would like to ask a question of my guest, who I'm happy to say have been with us before. We have Frank Coleman, who is heading the office of Trina Health in Memphis, Tennessee, and also the founder of the company. In fact, the creator of the product, Dr. Ford Gilbert, is online as well, and you'll be able to ask them questions. So if you call in on 347-838-9142, then just press the 1 button on your touchtone dial, and that will bring you up, and we will bring you online so you can ask your question of Dr. Gilbert or Frank Holman. And if you've got a question for me, I'll answer it too. Now, before we get into the show and before I make a full introduction of my guest, it's time for Renford Revelations. This is my blog. You can go to iam-cor.org/blog and see all of the blogs. They've all been read here on this show first, and then they go up. They're posted up there, and you can make your comments negative or positive. It doesn't matter. Like to hear from you. And, of course, you can email me or call directly, 901-487-9365. That's my cell phone. I'm open, willing, and able at almost any time. If I'm in a meeting, I'll get back to you to talk about any questions that you have about the blogs. Tonight's blog is Practical Approach to the Universal Principles. I call it the Spiritual IV. In numerous essays, classes, and books, I address what I call the Spiritual IV, the necessity of identifying and verifying the universal principles in our life experiences. In other words, the stress is on the personal conscious recognition from your own experiences, as opposed to blindly accepting tradition or faith in what someone else says their experience has been. This is a process initially in conscious recognition. I'm not advocating any particular religion or even a particular path of enlightenment. I am talking about the first step of conscious observation that will eventually be taken over by the intuitive mind. It is a step toward the door to your path. If you can't find or open the door, how are you going to determine a path? Most of the Renford books in the first level of study at the Institute of Applied Metaphysics are designed to assist the reader in this process of identification and verification. The purpose is to key off in your mind an incident that can confirm for you a particular universal principle. This is not just a plug for my books. I want you to understand the necessity for this approach to self-discovery and therefore some understanding of the creative force many call God. These first level books approach the process from different angles so that should you not be able to associate a universal law with your experience in one area, maybe you'll be able to relate to another part of your life. In the house that Namu built, you can find the story of one man's process of self-discovery, and each incident is an example for you to relate to your experiences. However, this is a modern-day parable told in a simple story form that some may find difficult to relate to in their own reality. For this reason, I wrote the rules of the game. Some people are not terribly interested in what Jesus, Buddha, or Lao Tzu had to say, but may be very interested in what Lou Holtz, Bear Bryant, and Vince Lombardi had to say. This book is analogous to football, and all the quotes come from sports figures. These philosopher coaches may or may not have been aware that their statement was a universal principle, but their expression of that law is unmistakable. Others will not read anything unrelated to success, business, or money. For this reason, I wrote The Laws of Material Wealth. This book is about the thinking that should occur before you go into business for yourself and what is required in the successful development of anything. I draw on my experience in raising capital for new businesses for illustrations of each universal law. For those who love poetry, I revealed in 63 poems my process of evolution and unfoldment. In Search of Self is the name of the book. In whatever manner and in whatever way I could, I have sought to provide ways for you to relate to the universal laws. I have suggested to you that what I have discovered, but your dependence on my word about these universal laws, if accepted on faith, will be just as much a hindrance to your process as accepting what your preacher says without searching the scriptures to see if the things said are so. The process of necessity must be yours and yours alone. It is your experiences you are studying in relation to the universal laws to help you consciously recognize this principle so that you can say, I know this is true because I've been there and done that. Once you've been able to relate each principle to an experience consciously, it becomes second nature for you. You are not having to analyze everything that happens to you in relation to the universal laws. The intuitive mind takes over, and the inner being recognizes what is going on as a natural process. You will never get where you want to go with this if you sit down with a list of the universal laws and ask yourself, okay, what has happened to me that typifies a particular law? You can review your life experiences and determine which universal law or combination of laws were in place in each instance. You cannot use the universal laws like some tool of how-to formula. You can learn to come into harmony with these universal laws and thus benefit to the maximum from the harmony. This process requires work on self, which I have found to be the most difficult work an individual can undertake. Most people would prefer to read a book, go to church, or to a seminar and let someone tell them what they should do. Some want to go to a service or group meeting and feel the energy without having to think, observe, or in any manner work on oneself. The actual process requires so much mental effort that without a group or a teacher available on demand, you may simply set it aside as requiring too much thinking. By using the Renford books as your tool for the process of relating the laws to your experiences, the task becomes simply a procedure that automatically slots in an experience as being an illustration of a principle. There is an added exercise that will facilitate your process. This exercise is also difficult because we are unaccustomed to self-observation. Once we actually start paying attention to what we are saying and doing, we become more and more self-aware. You do not have to beat yourself up for being angry or saying something caustic. By virtue of the fact you are observing yourself, you are aware of what you're doing. You will simply stop doing the negative, which you recognize as harmful to your process. You may catch yourself responding negatively to someone because of what they said and may respond in kind, but the fact that you recognize what you're doing is a major step in your process. And that's my comments and my blog for this evening, The Renford Revelation. Now, I want to get to our guest very quickly. Frank Holman represents Trina Health in Memphis, Tennessee. I interviewed Frank and Dr. Ford, Gilbert Ford. Ford Gilbert. I got it right backwards again. The inventor of the equipment and founder of Trina Health on the Renford Revelations television show and on the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. Formerly Memphis diabetes patients had to go to Charlotte, North Carolina, or to Dallas, Texas to avail themselves of the treatment which signals the liver to produce the enzymes that are necessary to proper metabolism. This interview will be an update on Trina Health since opening last year in Memphis. And we will be sending out information and giving you contact numbers and so forth during the show. My other guest there is Dr. Gilbert, that's Dr. Ford Gilbert, and he's the founder, he's the creator of the product, the equipment that makes it possible to basically create a new life for people who have been dealing with diabetes and other ailments that are related. Welcome to the show, Frank and Ford. I'm very pleased to have you with me again.
Glad to be back.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Frank, this is the kind of thing that really people ought to know about. It ought to be a public service announcement in the paper. Everybody should know about Trina Health.
Yeah, it should be. And I was very excited when I first heard about this through a strange set of circumstances and ended up flying to Houston once I could get Fort Gilbert cornered from some part of the world and get him in Houston, which took about 6 weeks for that to happen, and came back with the license, and we opened Memphis, and we have August the 11th of last year, and we have simply had a phenomenal response. We have probably done, I don't have the exact number today, wish I could have checked and gotten that, but somewhere between 1,400 and 1,500 treatments that we have given. We had one session per day initially for 6 days, and now we have gone to double shift on morning and afternoon shift on Wednesdays because the treatments take about 4 hours in three segments, and it's a very strict protocol, and we use no medicines, chemicals, or toxic anything. We use glucose, and we use insulin, which is applied in microbursts on a certain schedule by a pump that has an intravenous pump that has set 60 pounds per square inch. So it replaces what the pancreas does and signals the liver to make the enzymes to send to the cells so the cells can process glucose. That's the A part. The B part is then that the cells generate energy in the form of adenosine triphosphate, or ATP, and that is then sent and stored in the liver and the muscles, and that really is our metabolism and our energy. So over a period of time, we can take type 2 diabetics to from once a week, and then as they build back up, and really their body begins to respond, we can take them out to every 10 days or every 2 weeks, then 3 weeks. And some people we can take out, they come once every 4 weeks. And we've had some great success with that. So, and along the way, all of their issues with diabetes are improving. Their neuropathy on many people has gone away. Their energy comes back. Their vision gets better. Their diabetic fog, their brain begins to function, so the diabetic fog lifts and goes away, and they begin to be sharp mentally again, and et cetera, and et cetera. So, and I've got just a ton of testimonies. We have a new newsletter that we had today that I just got and started printing today, and we have four unbelievable testimonies.
Well, why don't we take a break? Why don't we take the break right now and just tell everyone how they can get information on Trina Health if you're in the Memphis area and if you're outside of it, because there are Trina Health clinics in China and India. They're all over the world. And since this show goes to 138 countries, I think everybody ought to know some central location they can get to know more about it. But go ahead and give us Memphis numbers now.
Yeah, well, for our region, in the Memphis region, and we have people coming from Paragould, Arkansas, from Mountain Home, and from Missouri, and around the Mississippi and the Tennessee area toward Nashville, et cetera. Mm. Anyone coming here can enjoy this company. But our 800 number is 877-808-2278. 877-808-2278. And our 901 area code number is 682-1234.
Is there a web address?
I'm getting ready to do that. The website is www.trinahealth.com. That's the corporate website, and then we have a link to Memphis. So, and our website's under construction, so that'll be soon. But that will be a good link to be able to reach information on Memphis. And it's a really good website. And there are some testimonies, video testimonies on there that people look at and just can't believe. So,
Dr. Gilbert, I've heard you speak on a couple of occasions. And one thing that stuck in my mind was this is a metabolic problem, a metabolism problem, not a sugar problem, diabetes. Tell us, tell the audience or the listeners what you mean by this.
Well, I think every medical book written on diabetes actually says that diabetes is a disease of improper carbohydrate metabolism. In other words, diabetic people can't process carbohydrates properly. And yet we focus almost exclusively on trying to manage blood sugar. But I can report that the Pharaohs had a perfect way to manage blood sugar and get absolutely perfect sugar. All they did was starve the person. Blood sugar doesn't really represent what your body is doing. And I'm thrilled in one respect, because when you opened the segment, you were talking about the universal law. And I've almost got to jump to it before I explain what we do, but I want to explain why we do what we do. We actually normalize a person's body, and we do it in a way that allows them to process carbohydrates properly. So they're not burning lipids and free fatty acids and doing a bad job, if you will, with the cellular ATP levels. One of the things, though, that is compelling about this is that even though we didn't know it at the time, and for a number of years we had no idea, we actually accidentally mimic the way a normal pancreas talks to a liver in order to get that liver to produce the enzyme so that the body can process carbohydrates. So the reason blood sugar is high, of course, is because you're not using those carbohydrates properly and your cells are actually starving a bit. But the universal truth is that we're actually using the way we were designed. I like to say we use the way God designed your pancreas to tell your liver that, hey, let's not be diabetic. And once you do that and you are successful, as we are with this treatment, you can actually see, as we measure it, the metabolism of this diabetic person become normal. And the key to this is actually twofold. The first thing we do when we normalize metabolism, and these people can burn carbs now, the first thing we do is we replace the 30% reduction in cellular energy that the average diabetic person has. You see, carbohydrates give your cells a lot more energy than lipids, free fatty acids, and proteins. So when you're able to process and burn carbohydrates properly, you actually get 100% of the energy that your cell is supposed to get. But when you can't burn carbs, and you're diabetic, for example, then you only produce inside the cell about 70% of a normal cellular level of energy. Again, as Frank said, adenosine triphosphate, or ATP. And what this means is every diabetic person walking around is literally working with about 70% of the nominal amount of energy that is supposed to be in their cells. Now, they overcome these battles with their will, and they know that they're very fatigued, but they overcome it with, you know, what I guess you could call intestinal fortitude. But the reality is that once we return those cells to a nominal 100 or even sometimes 110% of energy, these patients now, their bodies just wake up. And see, God put this perfect memory in every cell. The memory is called DNA. And every cell knows, because of its DNA, knows exactly what to do, when to do it, and how to do it, and how to work the other cells. But if the cells don't have the sufficient ATP, or they have an inability to react because of toxins, or most likely, as we know with diabetes, it's a disease of inflammation. If the cells are not able to do their job, they slowly succumb to disease. And that's why, you know, diabetic people have three times the cancer and many times and twice the heart attacks, twice the strokes and that sort of thing, because their autoimmune system is so very taxed. And their cells don't have the energy they need. So all we do is we mimic the way God made a normal person. With the artificial pancreas treatment literally stimulates the liver to produce the enzymes so that people can use carbohydrates. And that's not just sugar, that's leafy vegetables and potatoes and all those sorts of things, vegetables. So that you can use carbohydrates and produce energy. But the outcome is really much more interesting for me, because once you do that, everybody says, well, I've got the energy, but why is it that we all get, you know, eye disease, kidney disease, heart disease, that sort of thing? And the answer is very direct. When you are not able to burn carbohydrates, when you're a diabetic and not treated by us, if you're not able to burn carbohydrates, your levels of free fatty acids are always high because you are burning lipids. As a matter of fact, a diabetic person, when they eat a carbohydrate, they literally store it as a lipid, as a fat, and then burn the fat. So it goes a roundabout, if you will. And the unfortunate byproduct of this roundabout metabolism called lipid metabolism is that you have very elevated levels of free fatty acids. And so when the free fatty acids are elevated, the cells call on the inflammatory process, and that's why we all know, and again, nobody argues with anything that I've said, that's why we all know that diabetes is a disease of inflammation. And the only difference between a diabetic person and a non-diabetic person is A, the inability to process carbohydrates, and B, the metabolic inflammatory disease processes, which lose your eyes, kidneys, that sort of thing. The fabulous news, and here's the universal truth. The universal truth is, if you don't try to muck it up and you just do it the way God did it, and does it, you're going to do a lot better. And by just mimicking the way we were designed and using his methodology of getting proper metabolism as opposed to some chemical pathway, just using the way God made man as our model, we are now able to achieve the most amazing outcome. And it's not anything really to do with us. As Frank will tell you, he's got people down there who would be going blind, or their eyes are improving. We have them at all of our clinics. We have kidney disease that we are reversing. I mean, nobody's ever been able to do that. We've been very effective at reversing neuropathy. That's the painful part of it's usually in the extremities where your foot and that sort of thing will go numb. But before they do, they actually hurt, or they do both at the same time. And what's interesting is when you don't use one of your, you know, universal truths of trying to do it the way God made man, and you try to do it chemically, unfortunately, you will use something like Lyrica. And Lyrica is a good drug in the sense that it is effective in some respects, to numbing some of the pain from neuropathy. But that's, frankly, just the wrong way to do it, because if we treat the patient and we get their metabolism proper and we get their body burning carbohydrates and reducing the inflammatory process, now their neuropathy will reverse. And not only will it not hurt, but they'll actually be able to feel their feet. And Frank, you know, I say it simply this: when you do it the way God made man, and believe me, I don't take credit for the design. I'm just barely able to take credit for the fact that we do it the way he made man. I mean, it wasn't easy, but it was really nothing of our doing. We were following a program that we didn't even know existed. So I don't take any credit for this. The real credit is due in the exquisite way that the cells know what to do when you feed them and you get out of the way. Because if you can feed the cells with the adenosine triphosphate production through proper carbohydrate utilization, now the cells can do what they're supposed to do, and they stop becoming inflamed, and that background metabolic inflammation goes away, and they absolutely heal themselves. And I don't know of one single condition ever that we have not been helpful to when we have normalized the metabolism of a patient. So that just goes to show that the core problem really is metabolism, as I said, as every medical textbook in the world has always said. But I think I've talked too much, Frank. I'd really like you to tell them about all the people who get well, because, you know, the end result is that, you know, I got all this biomed, but the proof of the pudding is in what you do for your patients.
Well, Frank, before you go into that, tell me how. I know you brought this to Memphis, and people were having to go to North Carolina and Texas to get treatment. How in the world did you run this man to ground when he's opening up clinics in India and China and all over the world, and studying medicine and studying law and everything else? How did you catch him?
Well, it's like I said, it took about 6 weeks, but if the audience goes on the website and they go to testimonies, there are some video testimonies on the website, and the first person on there is a pastor out of a large church in Houston. And that is an amazing story on how he and Ford got together. It's so improbable. I have a very good friend who had seen this pastor a year before. That was 2 years ago. And he had seen him at a large convention of world evangelists and at the church. And they called for this pastor to come up and open the event. And he was on a walker and people helping him and could barely walk and was going blind and didn't do too much of an introduction. A year later, he goes back to the same event, and they call the pastor to open the event. And he jumps up and runs up there and does opening remarks. And my friend is just, Ford is laughing because he knows he's a very dear friend of this pastor now. Mm-hmm. And he jumped up, and then so my friend is like in shock. He said, "What? How could this be? How did this happen?" And subsequent to that, they had dinner, and he kind of learned about what was going on. And a week or two later, because we talk pretty frequently, and he called me just to talk about stuff we talk about from high school and college and church. We went to church together here, and and I said, I want to meet this guy. If this is real, I want to meet this guy. And my friend later told me, he said, I wasn't even excited about this until I talked to you. I said, how could you not be excited about it? So we put the word out, and the pastor got a hold of Ford and set everything up. And the pastor told me when I was in Houston, he said, Frank, he said, let me tell you that I had so much pain in my legs and feet. He said, even on maximum medication, I could not lay down on the bed and put a sheet over my feet and legs. I couldn't stand the pain from the weight of the sheet. So now he's walking, and he's did not step down as the senior pastor, and I think he's back on the plane going to third world nations and whatever. So that's in the end and how I met Ford in Houston at the church. We spent one day at the church with him giving us the entire background of this, and we went across Katy Freeway the next day to the clinic because the pastor, and I'm paraphrasing, said to Ford, because he's flying to California, you think it's bad to get to Memphis, well, hey, he's flying from Houston to California every week to, I think, Newport Beach, wasn't it, Ford?
Yes, Newport Beach.
Yeah, he was going to Newport Beach, and he says to Ford, hey, I'm spending a lot of time flying back and forth from Houston, and I got a church to run, so why don't I just open a clinic in Houston, which, of course, then Ford said, sounds like a good idea to me. So that's how that happened. So it's just, it's an amazing story of an amazing journey that has to have the hand of providence guiding it, I can tell you. But Ford, I will say one more thing. Let me say one more thing here. Ford would call me, you said, when he was in China and he was in India. Well, he usually called me somewhere between 12:30 and 2 o'clock in the morning. Here in Memphis, when he was in India or China, one night he called and he said, Frank, I'm standing here in front of 19 television cameras in India, and they're getting ready to broadcast me all over the country. And Ford, at some point, you have to tell them about your 4 or 4.5 hours you spent with, 400 endocrinologists in India, and what happened on that vote. You can tell that better than I can.
Well, you know, everybody wonders why they hadn't heard about the treatment. And I think it's a good question because we're just now rolling out, if you will. Even though we've been doing this for quite some time, and I actually started it to help my daughter, who was very ill, and of course now she's very well, because her metabolism is just fine. And she was a diabetic at age 2. She's now 33, I'm sorry. Oh, I get in trouble for that. And she's absolutely well after all those over 30 years of diabetes, and she's perfectly, type 1, perfectly in good health. And sure, of course.
That's a mother of 5, right?
Yes, amazingly, she's had 5 normal-sized children, no complications. I mean, you just read about these stories and you wonder how it could be, and then you superimpose this concept that you had with using, you know, fundamental universal laws. And I guess one of the universal laws is if you have really proper metabolism and your cells are working together, then the combined body appears to do just fine. So it certainly has for her. But what's different about this therapy is that, of course, we started here in the U.S. and we've had our clinical trials, very impressive. Some of our clinical trials at Mayo, Scripps, Joslin, which is Harvard, University of Arizona, University of California. All, you know, this is not garage medicine. And so we do all these clinical trials, and we literally achieve something that nobody else has been achieving. And lo and behold, I think that somebody's going to run up to me and give me the Nobel Prize or something, who knows, and nothing happens. And then I realize that in other countries, if you go there and you have a sponsor who, like the very large hospital system in Hyderabad, India, the sponsor will bring out the troops, and the troops will listen to you, and then they'll do something. So I was invited over, and I spoke to over 300 physicians and endocrinologists. Most of them were internal medicine. Most of these people are, of course, trained in either the U.S. or the U.K. And so all these endos and all these very, very fine physicians, and I have 4.5 hours on stage with these people, or at least 4 hours. And we go through from beginning to end. And I don't mean anything was left off. And at the end of that time, I thanked them, and I was, of course, I fielded a huge number of questions, and I hope responded properly. And so I left, and then they talked amongst themselves. And as a result, this therapy is now recognized, insurance provided, everything in India in one day. And that's because they could get all the experts together. Well, then you come back to the U.S., and every physician in the U.S., of course, doesn't have that kind of relationship that he can just go to a big meeting and everybody vote and everybody be happy. Because the United States, of course, is a wonderful medical program, but it's very individualistic. So doctors here, so for example, when we wanted to open a clinic in Memphis, I had to go talk with the doctors in Memphis and tell them what it was about. And sure enough, they saw what it would do, and now they know what it did. Of course, at that time, they were only hopeful. And then I go on to the next place. So in the U.S., we open serially, but in other countries, we open in mass. And I think that the other countries have it on us for that one, because clearly there are a lot of people out there whose lives we would be impacting in ways that you can only imagine. And we're not doing it. And the reason we're not doing it is our system isn't really geared for a revolutionary kind of a treatment. Of course, if it were a pill, we could just make a billion pills and it would be done. But because this has to be done in a clinic, you have to open up clinics, you have to get the doctors to do it. And as Frank will tell you, there's a bit of work to it. But nevertheless, we have clinics. We have several clinics in California. We have a couple in Arizona, one going into Colorado. We have four clinics in Texas, one going into Wichita, Kansas. We have two in Miami. So you have to go on the website. We're opening a clinic of all places in Dillon, Montana, which is a tiny place. We have several clinics in Alabama.
Don't forget Las Vegas.
And Las Vegas, yeah. I have a clinic in San Francisco, which is more like Sodom and Gomorrah than Las Vegas is now. But anyway, that's another story.
It's kind of a demand by the public, isn't it? When people do find out about it, I mean, there is a demand, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Today, I finished training a second clinic in Phoenix, Arizona, or in Scottsdale. And tomorrow, I'm starting a second clinic in the L.A. area in Costa Mesa. And right after that, I leave for Miami for another clinic there. And then I have to go over to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, where they say they want 1,000 chairs in 100 chair clinics. So there is a lot of demand. There's no doubt of that. And I'll tell you, if I had a loved one, and as I do, who was a very sick diabetic, which she no longer is, I would make sure that I was able to, you know, navigate my way to a place where I could get something like this done. Because literally, insulin has not changed in the way that it was delivered very much since it was first recognized by Banting and Best in the 20s, 1920s. They gave insulin under the skin then, and admittedly, the insulin now is made from bacteria, but it's engineered to be like human insulin, so it's no longer pork or beef. But that and how long the insulin lasts is another change. But apart from those minor changes, insulin hasn't been changed in its delivery mechanism, including the little CSII wearable pumps, which are good, but they just mimic shots. They don't really deliver insulin the way the body is supposed to get it, the way a normal pancreas delivers it to a normal person. So since insulin delivery hasn't changed in all those years, it's not terribly surprising that the very same complications that people had in the 1920s, albeit them slightly retarded now in terms of time, are the very same types and complications we have today. And they are, and this is, I kid you not, they are completely addressed when you adapt a delivery that is like the way God made man. And that's the key here. And I'm not trying to become a priest or an evangelist. I'm just reporting to you that all medicine should look as its primary example and its preferred methodology to the way that man actually works, the way he works now, And the closer medicine comes to approximating what is normal, it's my feeling the more likely it is that the outcomes will be either better or be free of adverse event. And just in case you're wondering, if we were doing a commercial for this treatment, we wouldn't have to say, and watch out for, or the side effects of, or there are no side effects when you normalize somebody. Zero. And we have yet to have a single adverse reaction. Now think about that. There has never been a medicine that I've ever heard of, and I've pretty much studied it all, as you can tell by my name. I've never heard of a medicine that didn't have a side effect, except ours. And that's scary. That is absolutely scary. Because I'm just dreading the day that we have something happen that doesn't work well. But it has never happened so far, and that's a testimony to the fact that when you normalize a person's body, the body knows what to do, because it has this perfect memory called DNA. And when we try to outthink the pathophysiological pathways of the body and try to interject or intervene with a chemical change at a junction of that pathway, and of course it's not going to be the way your body's designed, it's going to be a chemical designed to try to affect that pathway, well, you're always going to have adverse events. I mean, even the most benign medicines have some adverse activity to them. But we're the first thing I've ever heard of that has no adverse events. And if you want to find out if that's true or not, all you have to do is look on the FDA. They're required to publish all adverse events, so we just don't have any. And that's
worth getting evangelical about, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. It's tough to mimic God and then say, by the way, I don't know who God is. You've got to be, you know, a philosophical schizophrenic.
I don't want you listeners to think that this is another piece of equipment like dialysis, and that you go take in your own it until you can get a kidney transplant or something. In my interviewing of patients, I found that when they own this treatment with Trina Health, there has to be less and less time on the equipment. In other words, they might be going once every two or three weeks at first, and then the time in between gets longer and longer. Could you address that, either one of you?
Well, I guess I can go ahead. From a physiological point of view, when a patient first comes in as a diabetic person, they've been diabetic for quite some time. As a matter of fact, insulin resistance, which is what you inherit basically in type 2, insulin resistance takes place years before you ever know that you have this problem, because your own pancreas puts out more and more insulin to cover this insulin resistance. So once again, the blood glucose doesn't tell you diddly, because blood glucose is perfect, and yet you're in a full-blown diabetic progression. So insulin resistance takes place, and then for a number of years, then your beta cells start falling off and in the pancreas, and that's when you start noticing something's going wrong. But during this whole time, you've had this inflammatory process where your body doesn't do as well fighting off disease and the like. And so your body is succumbing, especially your mind, is succumbing to the disease process over a period of 10, 12, 15 years. Well, when we finally get these patients, as you know, we love to get the train wrecks. I mean, I had a patient come in today in Phoenix, and I was just so excited to see him. Why? Because they had every conceivable thing wrong with them that you can have with diabetes. And I couldn't say, there was yes to every single question. And that started with the eyes and ended with the feet. And if it had to do with hair, it would have been answered yes to. This guy was what we call a train wreck. And he came in, and I looked at him, and I said, I am so excited to see you. And he looked at me, and what is the matter? And I said, you are just so awful. I can't wait. You know, and he looked at me a little askant. But the bottom line is, they're the perfect patients, because they are so completely gone in almost every respect that when we make them well, it's like, who can believe it? And so I recently taped one of my favorite patients now, He's, you know, if you're on dialysis for over 5 years, you're lucky, because most 75% of diabetic people on dialysis don't make it more than 5 years. And there's a lot of reasons for this. So we have this guy we've been now treating since just before he went on dialysis. And he's in his eighth year of treatment. And his kidneys are coming back. He's still being dialyzed, but his kidneys are coming back. His liver went from 40% to 100%. He had nephropathy, he had heart disease, he had such retinopathy with his eyes that he had the maximum number of laser treatments. And when I went down to see him and I filmed his interview, I said, "How's it going, Tom?" His name is Tom Kersell. He doesn't mind if I use his name. I said, "How's it going, Tom?" He says, well, Ford, I've got some really good news. I've got my retinologist is going to talk with us. So we went over to this retinologist in Orange County in Newport Beach. And he said, "Look at this." I said, "Uh-huh, what? He says, "You see this eye?" And it had a Doppler image of the retina of Tom. He said, "I can't tell where there is one indication of retinopathy in his entire eyes." And I said, "What does that mean?" He says, "I can't even find the real damage area where we used to laser him. He is no longer diagnosed as having retinopathy." And I'm, you know, it took me a minute to understand this. Here is a guy who, when I first met him, was, again, he was just a train wreck. And now he's doing so well on dialysis that he's adopting a baby, believe it or not. And most importantly, he has 100% of his liver function back, and his eyes are perfect now. And I'm thinking, how wonderful I am. And then I realized for a second, hold on, kiddo. It ain't you. You're just a witness. The real story is that it's wonderful the way God designed the body so it could repair itself. Because, you know, I can't really say that I'm a wonderful guy when I don't even talk to this guy for years on end. And all of a sudden he's well. And I say, "Oh, I'm so great." That's not the point. The point is that we will take patients who have absolutely no hope of a normal life, and we will return them to a normal life. And we do this in such a wonderful way that we're now setting up this program called Second Bite of the Apple. And the whole question is, what are you going to do with your new life? Because the diabetes fog goes away, the retinopathy goes away, the nephropathy goes away. Sexual function returns. I know that that's a surprise to many. If it hasn't been gone too long, we'll get sexual function return. Patients who are on dialysis will continue to live. We don't know how long, but they certainly are defying the odds. Patients who are not yet on dialysis, we will keep off of dialysis. And if you could ever do anything for somebody, that would be the greatest gift of all. Patients who are in congestive heart failure. And you know, again, doggone it, Frank, I'm talking too much. Why don't you tell them, to me, which is most interesting, about the lady who is the mother of one of your nurses with the carotid artery occlusion?
Oh, yes. This is one of our nurse practitioner's mothers who is a patient. And she had told me back before Christmas, she said, "I'm going to get my annual physical. I was there, you know, a year ago, and right before Christmas, I got a phone call, and I could see it was the nurse practitioner calling me, and she was calling from the ER because our staff, we don't have a set staff. We actually have 5 nurse practitioners. 4 of those are in the emergency room of Methodist North here in Memphis. And all of our techs are off the fire department, so they come in. And so we have a rotating staff. But I saw her call coming in, and she said, I'm at work in the ER. And she said, "I just talked to my mother," and she said, "I just simply had to call you. Her proteins were down from 400 to 100 in her urine. There was a huge difference in the carotid arteries because they were about 65% blocked the year before, and they were down under 50% at this point. There was something else that I don't remember. But anyway, she was quite to say she was happy, I think she, what was more, that she was ebullient. And just say, oh, my goodness, this is so incredible. And I want to go to another area real quick before we run out of time. And then I want you to fill in for it because, James, we I talked about our new newsletter that has four testimonies in it, and it takes the front and back of the page. To do that, out of those four, two deal with depression. And I have a short one here. I'd like to read it, and I'd like very much forward to talk about why depression is such a big issue with diabetic patients and the brain.
Now, is the newsletter online as well as hard copy?
I'm working on that because we just got it, the final version of it yesterday. So,
but anybody who wants
that,
to know can, anybody wants to know can contact you at the at this 682-1234 number and get a copy.
Sure, be glad to do that, and we can email it to them and whatever. But I'd like this is very short from a young lady. She's in her 40s and has a number of issues that have cleared up. I mean, amazingly well. But here in a couple of short paragraphs is what she said. She labeled hers depression gone. And then she says this, and I'll read it quickly. I was in a serious depression for years, to the point that I didn't care if I lived or died. I heard about Trina and thought that if I could get my diabetes under control, maybe I could see some improvement in my life. To my surprise, even shock, after my first couple of treatments, my depression was, and she has it in capitals, gone. And I mean gone, 100%. I had forgotten what it felt like to feel good, to want to set and meet goals, to get out and live. Just this one benefit alone has made the Trina Health APT treatments, artificial pancreas treatments, what it means, worth everything to me, and that is worth, $1 million. All the other improvements in my complications are just a bonus. And that's SH from Memphis. So, I mean, these are the reports that we're getting from the people who are sitting in the chairs, and that's what drives me, what a great humanitarian outreach. So you want to take a minute and talk about depression and diabetics forward?
Yeah, it's very understandable that she would get that kind of almost immediate response. Because the brain and nervous tissue only burn carbohydrates. And so by only being able to burn glucose, when you have a diabetic person, we have what we call after a while diabetes fog. Diabetes fog is a fairly temporary condition until it becomes, you know, very acute for over a long period of time. And is chronically acute, if you will. And diabetes fog is born of the fact that there is not enough energy in the synapse to allow for the brain to develop the conductivity across the synaptic cleft so that they think well. And also they have reduced L-DOPA or dopamine. And so the whole process of the brain is slowed down when the one substance it's supposed to burn can't be processed, which is, of course, carbohydrates. What we do is we cause the body to immediately turn that process back on, again, just mimicking normal pancreatic stimulation of the liver. And once those nerve cells get energy back, they just jump right back into operation. We used to think that you couldn't help anyone with neuropathy because it was a little bit like, you know, being in a wheelchair. Once you can't feel your feet anymore, you're in a wheelchair, they're gone. Well, that turns out not to be true. So surprising to me, I can't tell you. But the bottom line is it's very understandable that when nerves only burn carbohydrates or glucose, that they would do very poorly with diabetes, and that diabetes, the depression and diabetes fog would be just rampant.
And what are your plans here for Memphis, Frank? I mean, we know that Dr. Gilbert's going all over the world, opening up more, but what is going to happen in Memphis?
So we are, as I said, we have learned a great deal. We were open every day, 6 days a week, initially beginning at 9 or so. And then we've gone to Wednesday on two shifts, about 8 o'clock, and then people segue coming in because it's not a set treatment. Some people may take a little longer one time and shorter time the next time. So they leave in a staggered scene of events, and then the new patients segue in. And so we have a morning and an afternoon session on Wednesday. So we're going now next to Thursday for another, and we're hoping to hit 4 days of double shifts. We have 8 chairs. And so we're going to, then we're looking either at something closer to the river or down toward Mississippi for the second clinic. And then we're looking at either Jackson or Nashville next in the near future. And we have people standing in line waiting already for when are you going to come here? So so that's our plan. I'd love to have the 7 major areas of Tennessee, that being the major cities plus Bristol, Knoxville, Chattanooga, Nashville, Jackson and Memphis, and 2 in Memphis probably. Could be more actually, but anyway, we are moving to the point that we are really ready to go toward those additional clinics. Now that we've proven that this one works and we know what the game plan is to actually open a clinic and run it efficiently.
Yeah. Ford, is your major cities like New York and Boston and Chicago and so forth, is there resistance in those areas to
not
having
at all.
A clinic?
No, not at all. In New York, I forgot to say New York in my sentence there. We have something like 31 clinics that we've contracted to open serially in the New York area, not just in the Manhattan, Queens, Bronx, but also upstate a bit. And then in Boston, I really don't have any contacts in Boston, even though that's where the Joslin is. I assume that we'll be going into Boston within the next couple, 3 years at the latest. It takes a little bit of effort to open a clinic, so it's not like you just wave a wand and do it. But we have all of the major cities going in. We have everything all the way from Seattle and Portland, of course, the San Francisco Bay Area, Middle California, Fresno, Bakersfield, L.A., San Diego, Newport Beach, which is Orange County, and San Diego. And then coming in a little bit, we have Yuma, Arizona. And so you can see it just kind of flows from the west to the east. And the only reason we haven't been in New York is because I just have been unable to arrange it until now. So now we have some really nice people in New York who are anxious to help, you know, their loved ones, et cetera. It's kind of sad when you think about it. You know, you've got all these people who are hurting, and you know, and I mean to a moral certainty, you know that you could help these people dramatically. And then, you know, I just, and then another day passes, and finally a month passes, and you only have one more clinic. It would be very, very proper of me to try to get a more, quick rollout, but we still have to train these people. We have to install the equipment. I mean, even if you want to open a McDonald's with everything in line and on ready, it still takes you 6 months. And that's kind of where we are now. It took me 2 months to get a, or it took the local people 2 months just to get a building permit in Dillon, Montana. That just tickled me. Dillon, Montana.
Gentlemen, we're out of time. We're down to the last 60 seconds, and I haven't even got started with my questions.
TrinaHealth.com. That's it, TrinaHealth.com.
Just remember that. Go to www.TrinaHealth.com and get information. And, gentlemen, I would love
we'll
you to come
back
on within the next 4, 5, 6 weeks anyway to keep
sure.
updating us on this because people need to know about it.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, it's
your blessing.
So great for you to be a champion here. So we appreciate
thank you very
it
much for being with us on the show, and hopefully we'll hear more from around the world here from some of those countries that are getting this show. And thanks again, folks, for being with us on the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. Tune in and be with me next week at the same time. Have a good evening, everyone.
Okay, Ford.
Okay, well, very nice of him to put us on the air, and I know we gave a proper message to proper people, so what more can you ask for?
Yeah, it was great.
That's it. Thank you very much.
No, we'll be talking.
Did I talk too much, guys, or was it just too verbose?
It's wonderful to hear you talk because you got a message. Don't worry about it.
Yep, you've got a message, and his line of thought that he carries is just amazing.
Well, I'll be talking to both of you soon. Have a good evening.
Thanks again.
All right, look, just let us know when we're coming back.
All right, I'll do that.
Good night.
All right,
thanks again.
Okay, listen, I'll call you tomorrow.
Okay, all right, bye-bye.
Bye.